This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:35. Every public school in West Virginia is closed this morning because of the extremely cold weather. Over 7,000 residents are without electricity, as reported on the websites of First Energy and Appalachian Power. The Department of Transportation reports that road conditions are only fair this morning, with some snow and ice still on highways throughout the state. For an update and with the latest information about these weather conditions and how it's affecting the state, Lawrence Messina joins us by phone this morning. He's the communications director of the Office of Military Affairs and Public Safety. Lawrence, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Any issues pop up overnight due to the cold?
Well, you mentioned the outages. We have a number of around 8,050 customers across the state. The bulk of them are in north central and eastern West Virginia. I believe the number of outages may have been as high as 10,000 overnight. Also, we have maybe 400 people at 150 locations in the Preston County area with natural gas issues, but Mountaineer Gas is working on that as we speak.
Where can people go to get warm? Has the state opened up any warming stations, especially for these folks who are without electricity?
Communities throughout the state have opened warming stations, and several will remain open until Wednesday. I believe a number will be open throughout the day today. The National Weather Service has that wind chill warning, and I think they believe it lasts until 3 p.m. this afternoon, because wind chills will indeed be a factor, and we don't expect temperatures, absent the wind chill, to get higher than maybe 9 degrees.
And that's just today. It'll be warming up starting tomorrow.
That's our understanding. Slowly but surely, it'll be warming up.
And it's supposed to be in the 50s by Friday.
I understand. Rain, so, the whole shebang.
Yeah, that's right. So everybody just hunker down, because it is very, very cold out. Be very, very careful on the roads. Of course, we shouldn't have to tell you to warm up, dress warmly, and try not to stay out for very long. I think that's probably the most important is when you think about these linemen who have to go out and restore electricity. This is very cold weather, and you cannot stay out in it very long.
Absolutely. Those folks certainly deserve our praise and thanks when they go out there, because it's been brutal overnight.
It has been. All right. Lawrence Messina with the Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety. We thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Abandoned mines leach metals and other pollutants into Pennsylvania's streams. Could fracking be one way to clean up this water? That's what some inside the Pennsylvania state government and the gas industry are proposing. Reed Frazier of the Allegheny Front reports.
Bill Sabatas stands in a small industrial building. He's on a platform next to what looks like a big hot tub filled with really dirty water.
We're aerating it. We're trying to oxidize the iron, so you can see how blood red it's getting.
The liquid is abandoned mine drainage, or AMD. This AMD came from a mine just up the hill. Sabatas has spent much of his life cleaning up this dirty water. He's president of the Toby Creek Watershed Association, a local group that built and now runs this facility in northwestern Pennsylvania. The facility passes the AMD through a series of treatments. At the end of the line, it flows into a tank the size of an above-ground pool. The water here is clear.
In this particular tank, we're raising brown trout. And a lot of people just love to come up here and look at them. I guess it memorizes them. They just look like a big aquarium.
The fish will be used to stock streams around the state. The clean water in the tank eventually runs into the Brandy Camp Creek, a tributary to the Allegheny River. Sabatas grew up here near the town of Brockway. The region has a long mining history. The streams all used to be the color of rust.
There wasn't a fish in 100 miles of this place, so it was pretty bad.
Since the group built this treatment plant in 2005 with a state grant, the Brandy Camp started getting cleaner. But there was a problem. The watershed group had no idea how it would pay to keep the plant running.
It was scary because we didn't have a plan.
Then around 5 years ago, a potential solution emerged: fracking. Drillers use millions of gallons of water, along with sand and chemicals, to frack natural gas out of underground rock formations. Frackers typically use fresh water. But a few companies approached Sabatas with an idea. Could they use his cleaned-up mine water?
Well, I thought, well, there's all this water, and I need more money to treat all of it. And I thought, well, you know, they were looking for water. I said, try it. And they tried it.
And it worked. The gas companies paid Sabatas' group for the water, although technically it's a donation. And with the money, the group could treat more abandoned mine drainage. This idea of using old mine water to frack is picking up steam in Pennsylvania. Regulators, faced with a $15 billion abandoned mine problem, want to see more of this. They see it as one way to get AMD out of streams by putting it into fracked wells. Some companies have already started doing it, but others are balking. Andrew Patterson of the Marcellus Shale Coalition says the issue is liability.
The you touch it, you own it concept.
He says drillers are worried that they'd be held liable for the condition of the abandoned mine in perpetuity, even if they only used the water for a few months.
It's not clear on either a state or federal basis that if you were to use that water, that by using it, you had not inherited the long-term treatment of that source of water.
Watershed groups like Sabatas's don't have to worry about this. State law protects them from lawsuits over the mine water they treat because they're considered good Samaritans. A bill being pushed by the gas industry and the state's Department of Environmental Protection would add gas companies to that list of good Samaritans.
Well, we see this as a lose-lose-lose.
Tracy Carluccio is with Delaware Riverkeeper, an environmental group. She says gas companies are not good Samaritans. Under the bill, companies wouldn't have to clean up the mine water or buy it from groups like Sabatas's. They could simply withdraw the water they need from a polluted mine.
They're not cleaning it up. They're simply taking very polluted fluids and making them more polluted.
But some see this as a way to peck away at the state's historic abandoned mine water problem. Radislav Vidic is an engineer at the University of Pittsburgh. He says allowing frackers to use mine water keeps that water from polluting the rivers.
If you think about it, AMD is already killing the fish in the streams. If you take it out and prevent it from going into the streams, or you clean it up before it goes into the streams, you can only make it better.
Even if the bill passes, no one's promising that fracking could solve the state's abandoned mine water problems. At current funding levels, cleanup of the thousands of historic coal mines in Pennsylvania is projected to take up to 50 years. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
This story was funded through a grant from the Foundation for Pennsylvania Watersheds. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:43. Wind chill warnings for the entire state until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning for the higher elevations, as wind gusts of up to 25 to 35 miles per hour could push wind chill values as low as 40 degrees below zero. Scattered snow flurries in our forecast today. Mostly clear, continued cold overnight. Partly sunny on Wednesday, with temperatures in the 20s and 30s.
Support provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit WVDRS.org for employer services.
West Virginia University's men's and women's basketball teams are now playing in their second year in the Big 12 Conference. One program is rebuilding, while another is excelling. Beneduccio has more.
West Virginia's men's team is coming off of a season last year where they only won 13 games. It was the worst season in a decade for the program and one of Coach Bob Huggins' worst as a head coach. One problem the team endured was an exhaustive travel schedule, traveling more than 30,000 air miles, since many of the Big 12 schools are in Texas. Huggins says an adjusted travel schedule this year, which allows for the team to stay in that state for two games instead of flying back and forth, has helped.
We've got actually two trips where we're going to stay out and play. So that helps us a bunch. I think there's a couple of just the little things that we could do that I think that would help everybody. But I think I can't say enough about how good the league's been in trying to help us with our travel issues.
WVU's basketball team is also scoring more points this year. One player, Aaron Harris, is leading the entire league in scoring. Another player, Juwan Staten, is distributing the ball very well. Huggins says he's very impressed with Staten.
Well, he's always been a talented guy. He's kind of really just immersed himself in basketball and has studied film, and he's actually came over to my house and wanted films, guys that I've had in the past that were very successful, and he watched those films. And he's a guy who really studies the opponent and has really studied our playbook. He's as knowledgeable about what we're doing as probably anybody I've ever had.
West Virginia's women's team is also performing better than last year's team. Last year, they finished with 17 wins and 14 losses. This year, the women's team is red hot, as they have won 13 games in a row. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.